We are continuing the series, Moses, Follow the Fire, and after a little break from Christmas and New Year's, and we are in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and following, and the setting is this. Moses is still in front of the burning bush. God has commissioned him to go and lead the people of Israel from slavery and injustice to freedom and promise, and given him the promise that he would be with him, and this is Moses' response. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And the Lord said to Moses, "Who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're continuing this series of Moses entitled Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at facing feelings of inadequacy. Well, I just want to ask you, how many people are New Year's resolution people? Any folks out there set some New Year's resolutions? Anyone set some goals for the new year? Good. And I don't know how that's going for you right now. We're about mid-month here, midway through the month. Here's a few thoughts on New Year's quotes. Benjamin Franklin said this, "Be always at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let each new year find you a better person." Sounds good. Robert Paul, maybe a little more realistic for some people, "I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit rounder, but none the wiser." Jay Leno said this, I like this. He said, "Now there are more overweight people in America than average weight people. Therefore, overweight people are now the new average, and therefore your resolution is met." I like that. Some wise words for the new year. "I have enough money to last the rest of my life unless I buy something." "Every year, I make a resolution to change myself. This year, I'm making a resolution to be myself." Kind of nice. "In 2018, may your neighbors respect you, troubles neglect you, angels protect you, and heaven accept you, and may all your troubles last about as long as your New Year's resolutions." And here's a prayer. I like this. "Dear God, my prayer for 2018 is to have a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix them up like you did last year." And finally, I like this. "Remember that you can reset your New Year's resolution on January 14th because that's Orthodox New Year's. That's today, by the way. And February 16th because that's Chinese New Year. And after that, you just got to wait for the next January." So, well, I like New Year's. I don't know if you're like me, but for New Year's Day, I settled into a good day of football, watching football. And then I also always kind of make a list in my head and also on paper of the blessings I had in the past year, and I extend that over longer than just a year. And then the resolutions. It takes me a while to work on my goals and resolutions for the next year. And I know a lot of you are goal setters, and I like goals. I try to be more realistic, but still sort of stretch myself. But for a lot of us, I don't know how you're doing on your New Year's resolutions or goals for this year. They say that a lot of people after 3 weeks kind of give up. But you know, like the gym is full on January the 3rd, but by the end of January it's kind of empty. But for a lot of us, once we set goals, we begin to be intimidated by our own goals or maybe what we feel that God has called us to in the new year. And I hope you, like many people, have asked God and prayed what God would have you do new in this year or sort of resolve to have new strength for the new year. And for all of us, as we begin down that road, many times we begin to feel inadequate. We begin to feel intimidated by the goals that we've set or what we feel that God is calling us to in a new area of life. And I think that this morning's passage on Moses has some great truths for us, if you feel that way. And I mean, here's Moses, and he feels inadequate to the task before him. And just to recap for a moment, because it's been a while since we looked at Moses, what's the backstory? The backstory is this. The children of Israel are in Egypt. They were led there by Joseph, who became second in command to Pharaoh by an incredible set of circumstances, but God led them there to preserve them from a famine. Then that Pharaoh passed away, as did Joseph, and a new Pharaoh made them slaves. In fact, for centuries they were slaves, but the people thrived even in oppression, and they cried out to God for justice and freedom. As they thrived, the Pharaoh made things even worse. And threatened by them, he decided that he would make a decree that every Hebrew male child that was born needed to be killed. And so into this setting, Moses was born. And you can only imagine the heart and heartbreak of Moses' mother. And then after several months trying to hide the baby, she decided that finally the only thing that she could do was to make a basket of bulrush reeds and then to cover it with pitch and then to set that basket with the baby in it on the edge of the Nile River. And then she went and prayed, and her daughter, Moses' sister, watched over, and an incredible miracle happened. Pharaoh's daughter was near the river, and one of her entourage saw the basket, and they heard the baby's cry. Pharaoh's daughter asked her to fetch the basket, and so she brought this little baby to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter fell in love instantly, and Moses' sister ran to her and said, "Would you like a Hebrew woman to nursemaid the child for you?" And she said yes, and unbeknownst to Pharaoh's daughter, it became Moses' own mother. And it's amazing that God sometimes takes a tragic situation and makes it a time of triumph. And so Moses was raised in the household of Pharaoh. Household of privilege and a household of power. We can only imagine what that was like. But his mother schooled him in the fact that he was a Hebrew, and he was a brother to those who were slaves and oppression. He was probably torn between two worlds, torn between a world of power and privilege in Pharaoh's house and the world of oppression and injustice on the other hand, and slavery. And so one day Moses saw a Hebrew and Egyptian fighting, and he killed the Egyptian. His anger boiled over. And then he buried the Egyptian's body in the sand. He probably thought that that was the end of it. But the next day, he saw two Israelites fighting, and he tried to make peace between them. And they looked at him and said, "Will you kill us like you did the Egyptian?" And Moses knew the secret was out. And he began to fear for his life. And indeed, Pharaoh got word about it and decided to have Moses killed. He probably found out that he was a Hebrew and trying to help the Hebrew slaves. And so Moses fled into the desert, across the desert. And it was a long journey. And by the time that he got to the well, he was probably ready to collapse. But there he saw a need as well. And he saw these women who were being bullied by these other shepherds. And so Moses stepped in and intervened. He stood up for them. And he cared for them. He watered their flocks and also gave water to them. They went back to their father, whose name is Jethro, also known as Reuel. And they told the story of how Moses had intervened. And their father said, "Well, why didn't you invite him to dinner?" And so they went out. They invited him to dinner. And as fate would have it, Moses fell in love with Zipporah, who's one of the daughters. And they were married and had children. And so Moses has been in the desert as a shepherd for 40 years. Now, that's a long time to have your life on hold. And then all of a sudden, he's in the backside of the desert one day, and he sees a burning bush, but it doesn't get burned up. And so he goes over to investigate, and he hears God's voice call to him. And so he takes off his sandals because he's on holy ground, as the Lord commanded. And then God tells him he has heard the cry of his people who are suffering from slavery and oppression and injustice. And it reminds us that God does care about those who are in slavery and oppression and injustice. We still have slavery, oppression, and injustice in our world today. And God still cares and wants us to work towards peace and justice and the good of all. And so God tells Moses that he's going to call Moses to lead the people of Israel to freedom, away from Egypt and away from Pharaoh to land of promise. And no doubt Moses knows all about the slavery and oppression of his people, but Moses says this, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And then God gives him a promise, which is, "I will be with you." So there's a call and there's a command to go, and then there's the promise. And you think that that might be enough, except we pick up where the reading is today. And God has worked a few miracles for Moses as Moses is in fear and trepidation. But Moses basically says thanks, but no thanks. He says this, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Thanks, but no thanks. Send someone else. Have you ever felt like Moses? Have you ever felt like God has called you to a task that is beyond your gifts and talents, beyond what you're willing to give, and that God is just stretching you and you feel intimidated by the task, or you have feelings of inadequacy, or maybe it's just your job or your work, wherever you are, that God has called you beyond your gifts and talents, beyond your means. And I think many times when we think about Moses, we think about someone who is bold and daring and goes before Pharaoh and then leads the children of Israel across the Red Sea to a promised land. But in this moment, we get to really see into the heart of Moses. We get to see his feelings of inadequacy. And so God speaks to him and says that he will be with him. And he says, no, please, that can't be me. I'm not very eloquent in speech. And we think that Moses, as he says right here, I'm not eloquent in speech or good at words, that Moses may have stuttered or may just wasn't a good spokesperson. Now, later on, there's legends that Moses was a very eloquent speaker. That may be something that Moses grew into, but God was calling him to something beyond himself. And I wonder this morning, in a new year, as you set goals and challenges, or maybe listen to the voice of God, I hope as you sort of set your goals and think about your aspirations and resolutions for the new year, you'll take a moment and pray and ask God what God would have you do. What would God call you to? And when you hear that, your voice or the Lord's voice, you may feel like it's well beyond what you're capable of, but realize this, most of us at some time in life have feelings of inadequacy. And I think God sometimes calls us to do that so that we stretch. And so Moses is torn between these feelings of inadequacy and faith for the future. I wonder in your own life, where are you right now? In the new year, has God asked you to do something that sort of stretches you a little bit? Has God called you into a whole new area? Has God called you to sort of double down on what you've been doing? And do you feel like you're not up to the task? Maybe you feel intimidated by that or inadequate. Well, then you're kind of in the same place that Moses was. And Moses went on to do great things. And so there's facing the feelings of inadequacy, but then there's sort of the other side of that, which is you can be like Moses, you can face the future with faith. And someone once said, God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the call. And in our own lives, many times in our weaknesses, God calls us to stretch us. And that's really the answer to this struggle that he has. You know, when God has called you to something, God will bless your gifts and talents so that you can make a difference in your world. And I love what the Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. And Paul is saying, I have been in a moment of weakness where I felt God stretch me, and in the weakness I found God's strength. And it would be really probably Moses' weakness where Moses would begin to feel God's strength in a special way. You know, I think there's times in our life when God calls us to an area that is way beyond our natural abilities so that we have to lean into God's strength. And when we do that, all of a sudden we find that God makes us strong enough for whatever the call is in our hearts and lives. And I think that happens as individuals and also as a family of faith. You know, I think maybe in the new year, God wants us to stretch a little bit. In areas of mission and ministry, and we had a great year last year, a great missions giving, and just a lot of blessings. But maybe God can stretch us into new areas. And as individuals too, where is God calling you and is challenging you in ways that you never realized? And I think sometimes as God calls us, God pulls us into the future, knowing that it's bigger than what we are right now, but God can stretch us to the point so that we can meet the challenge and adversity that's ahead of us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In other words, as you look to the future, trust God. And God will lead you through the ways, and even when you think you can't see what's around the next bend, God will lead you and guide you along the pathway of life, and God will unveil his power to match the plan and purpose that he has for you. You know, it wasn't just Moses in the Bible that was reluctant to God's call. Think for a moment about Jonah. Now, Moses just stood there by the burning bush and said, I don't think so, God. I don't think I'm the right guy for this job. Jonah was different. He set out in the complete opposite direction. But God got around to dealing with Jonah, and it took being in the belly of the whale for 3 days. But eventually, Jonah was strengthened for the task ahead of him. Amos was one of the minor prophets in the Bible, and Amos was called to go to the temple, to the capital of the area of Israel, and to proclaim against the nobles and the king that they were on the wrong course. They were in a path of injustice, and they were oppressing the poor. And Amos said, sorry, Lord, I'm just a farmer. I can't do that. I'm uneducated. And these are the rich, and these are the powerful, and these are the educated. But God empowered him to do that in a great way. And so this is what God said to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, who gave human beings their mouths? Who made them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. God is saying he's going to be faithful with him. In our own lives, you know, there are times when we stumble in our own weakness, but I think that's because we don't depend on the strength of God. And many times God brings us to that place. I think of Peter as he was out in a stormy seas and sees Jesus coming on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Peter was very impetuous and the Lord said, come. So Peter did. He jumped out of the boat and he was walking on the water. But then all of a sudden, instead of looking at Jesus, he looked down at the wind and waves, we're told in the scripture, and he began to sink. And then it was there that he cried out to Christ, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and picked him up. And I think in the same ways, when we have moments where we've sort of stretched ourselves and then we begin to look at our own self and our own lack of strength, then if we turn to the Lord and say, save me, God will reach down and pick us up and put us in a new place of strength. And so Moses is there. He's wrestling with his inadequacies. He's struggling with his weaknesses. And God says that he will be there. Where are you right now? Is God calling you to a new area? Is God stretching you out to do something new? And I would just ask you to trust the Lord. Trust that God's power will be there and his plan and purpose and stretch you and help you to grow. Jesus, who was speaking to the disciples and probably knew that they would have times when they felt inadequate to the task ahead of them. And I think he was speaking also to us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28. And Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think for that image for a moment of the yoke, and Jesus probably made those when he was a young carpenter being tutored by his father in the carpentry business, and a yoke, you put it over oxen or horse, and as they work together, they're able to pull a plow. And I think Jesus was saying, listen, life's burdens, life's difficulties, life's challenges, life's adversity many times are too much for us. But if you'll put the yoke that I have and share that with me, then you can share my strength. I think that also challenges us to stay in step with Jesus. And so if the burdens of life and if the challenges of life are too much for you today, then share that with Christ. Learn to walk in step with Jesus. And when you do, we'll find the power to fulfill God's plan and purposes for our life. Now, Moses' name actually means to draw out. And it was probably from being drawn out of the Nile. But it's interesting that all through his life, God was molding and making and refining Moses for the task ahead. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he spent in the household of Pharaoh. And no doubt, he needed to know all the power and privilege of Pharaoh in order to speak to Pharaoh later on. Certainly needed to be fluent in the language. And then the next 40 years, Moses spent in the desert, which had to feel like his life was on hold. But I think God was also teaching him. He was refining him, molding him, and refining him for the task that would be ahead. Maybe Moses learned the secret of prayer in the backside of the desert. Maybe Moses learned what quiet time was all about with nothing but sheep around. But God was molding him and making him and stretching him for the task ahead. And I think now in this moment, God is stretching Moses to be able to go and to face Pharaoh and to be able to tell Pharaoh the need to let the people go. Jeremiah says this and uses the same image of being stretched out. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And that word drawn is again to stretch out, the same kind of image of Moses' name. And I think in our own life, God challenges us beyond our own natural abilities, because when God does, we learn to trust in Christ. We learn to sort of take up the yoke of Christ and share our burden with him. And when that happens, we find a new strength. And many times our natural abilities are strengthened and we're able to touch people in a new way. Jesus also uses this imagery of the vine and the branches. And Jesus said, I am the vine, you the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. You will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. In this new year, where are you with the challenge that God is putting before you? Is God putting some call that is on your life that you say, I just don't think so? Well, realize that Moses, this great leader who led the people from slavery and injustice and oppression to freedom and the promised land, that Moses felt the very same way. He felt that he was inadequate for the challenge and task ahead of him. But God helped him to lift his eyes to faith in the future and trust in God. So if the challenge this year or today is too much for you, and you're sort of being intimidated by the goals you set, or you feel that God is calling you to, and you have feelings of inadequacy, realize that you're not alone. Moses felt that way when God called him from the burning bush. And the Apostle Paul felt that way when God called him. But Paul found a new strength in his own weakness. I'm reminded that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and Martin Luther King Jr. had a great vision for equality and justice and peace in our nation and our world, and of course there's much work yet to be done. I'm sure that was well beyond his gifts and abilities in itself, but he was stretched and accomplished great things. And I think in our own lives, God calls us to make a difference in our world. And so I challenge us today to ask God where God's leading us and calling us. What are the new goals and aspirations that you have for your own life? And where is God calling you to stretch as individuals and also as a family of faith? And when we do, I'm just close with this thought. I think when we feel intimidated or we feel inadequate to the task and challenge ahead, that we can be honest, just like Moses was and just like the Apostle Paul was. I mean, Moses shared with God. He said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." But God was persistent, and so be honest with God. And then be obedient. If God tells us to do something, then step by step, realize that God is going to change us and stretch us and help us to grow along the journey of life so that we're able to meet the challenges that are ahead. And finally, to trust God. Because we can trust God not just for God's plan and purpose, but also God's power to strengthen us each and every day to meet the challenges of life. I'm going to close again with those words from the Apostle Paul, which I think are so beautiful and fitting. The Apostle Paul said this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about the challenges of a new year and a new day, oftentimes we challenge ourselves and set the bar higher for ourselves, and then we feel that we're not enough for the task that we've set for ourselves. And sometimes we feel your call in our life, too, to stretch ourselves and to meet goals and challenges that you have for us, to meet the world's needs around us. And sometimes we're overwhelmed by those needs. But we know that you come to us just as you did Moses and the Apostle Paul, and you remind us that in our weakness that we can find your strength. So help us today and this year to stretch for the goals, realizing that you will give us strength and power for your plan and purpose. And help us to make a difference in our world, both near and far. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.